Ramona Shelton, Sarah Spain, Israel Gutierrez, Justin Tinsley, Kyle Lowry's foot clearly on the line on this three in overtime number one. It was never reviewed. How does that happen? Miami, the double overtime win. Erroneous! Erroneous on all counts! Let's go around the horn.
You love saying that.
It really is Heat versus haters, isn't it? First time we're talking about
the
this
real
team,
number
it's erroneous.
One is, we know the real number one team in the East.
Here's the play again. Sarah Spain, our habitual line stepper on this here program. Does the league owe the Charlotte Hornets a win? Do they owe them an apology? Do they owe them nothing for missing Kyle Lowry's foot on the line?
They don't owe them a win. There were over 2 minutes remaining, and the strategy would have changed had the Heat been down one instead of tied. They do owe them an apology. How are we going to review literally everything for literally a longer amount of time than the game has to finish, and then we're somehow going to miss the most obvious one? I mean, there's nothing that needs to be fixed. This isn't a common problem. As I just pointed out, we usually over-review things. So I don't think you need to fix it, but I think you do need to publicly say, whoops-a-daisy.
And then what does that accomplish, I wonder? Ramona Shelburne.
Yeah, I think this fell into this weird Bermuda Triangle where if it's over 2 minutes, the clock doesn't necessarily stop. The officials have to have doubt to ask for a review. And there was 2:04 when he hit the shot.
Okay.
And the clock briefly stops at 2, but Charlotte, recognizing the situation, or not recognizing the situation, they inbounded the ball so quickly there wasn't time to review it. And so it's literally like
what
this
does
weird
that really fly,
second
Ramona?
Bermuda Triangle.
Like we said, they review everything. This is the
they
one they don't review?
They should have sensors in the ground. I mean, they didn't have sensors to review it. Just put a sensor around the three-point line. It's easy.
So you're
like
saying
tennis.
Because this was at 2:04, it doesn't make the two-minute report? I mean, that
yeah, it doesn't. Well,
which is not even worth the paper. It's not printed on the two-minute report. Justin Tinsley, how about you?
It's an unfortunate situation all around because there's blame to go all around. Blame the refs for missing a whole half a foot that's over the line and then not having any doubt about it. Blame the Hornets for not making more of a fuss about it. And blame the league office for not stepping in. Like, an apology in this case does nothing but waste the air of the person that's apologizing and the time of the person that has to hear it. And there's no need to implement a rule change because there have already been rule changes. The rule changes. Look, at this case, this is just a case of human error. They got it wrong. That's it. That's all that is. And the Hornets just have to take the biggest L out of all of this.
Rui Gutierrez.
Somewhere, Kevin Durant's watching, saying, man, if I had this ref in that game against the Bucks, I might have another ref already. However, I think the first place Miami Heat are the ones who are owed the apology here because you're trying to take away a win from them over something this. There are two-minute reports all over the place that have had missed foul calls, missed travels, missed a lot of things that would have led to points. Kyle Lowry still made a very difficult long shot here, just happened to be granted one more point for it. So you can argue, you can cry all the time if a guy didn't get a chance to shoot free throws and we just let that walk. And so this one, got to let it walk too. Hornets had their chances. It was more than 2 minutes left in the game. It was a tie game at that point.
For the number one Miami Heat, he made it known. Ramona,
first place.
You made a face when you heard that. What were you thinking about Miami?
Oh, I was thinking Israel's in Miami.
Yes, of course, of course.
So often do not talk about the Miami Heat.
But the Heat as the one seed at the break. Chicago the two at the break, but tied. Sixers move up to the three with that hang-on win over Milwaukee last night where Embiid went 42-14. And then it's Cleveland, and then it's the defending champs, Milwaukee, top of the bracket. So, Israel, you went there? Let's stay there. The midpoint, it's not really the midpoint, it's actually the two-thirds point, but who's got the upper hand at the break?
Well, the top of the East is just so intriguing. And it's not even just the top if you throw in Brooklyn in there because, you know, if they get healthy and shoot up the rankings, maybe they're going to definitely be a problem in the playoffs. But I'm going to have to say right now, if I were to choose a team that's in the best position, it's probably Philadelphia. They've got, you know, a healthy Joel Embiid who seems to be sort of still on the uptick, still improving as the season goes along, throwing in that step back three that he got right last night against the Bucks. And you throw in James Harden to, you know, whatever it's worth, whether he's got something to prove, whether he gets healthy and just, you know, at the lead guard on this team, looks more like his old self. I mean, that's got to be the most intimidating duo so far with potential. I love what the Miami Heat have done. I get that, you know, their top four players have only played 65 minutes together, and so they have a lot of potential there. But in terms of the most room for growth while still, you know, having a strong record right now, I think it's Philly.
Justin Tinsley.
I think this is the most fascinating question in the NBA right now because I don't think there's a real wrong answer. But I'm actually going to go with the team that lost last night, the Milwaukee Bucks. I think they're a better team than they were last year. You're going to get Brooke Lopez back, who's going to help them defensively. They know how to turn it on around this time of the season. And look, man, they don't have to wait for new parts to gel on that team. They're 24-7 when Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday all play together. And oh, yeah, that Giannis guy, the guy who's averaging more points, more rebounds, more assists, more blocks. He's shooting higher from three. He's shooting higher from the free throw line. Good luck beating that four times in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Ramona Shelburne.
You know, look, is it already like the middle of February and no one has said heat culture on the show yet this year?
It's amazing that Israel has resisted.
I couldn't believe I was like waiting
holding
for
out.
It is. Look, heat culture. Like this is, they are in first place despite not, as you said, playing 65 minutes together. Kyle Lowry's been out. Jimmy Butler's been out. Bam Adebayo's out. How are they in first place? And I think they've been built around the principles of defense, of sharing the ball, good shooting. They actually haven't played all that well, and they're still in first place. So I got to go with them. They, you know, Justin, I know you said the Bucks.
More points for Ramona.
Miami went to the finals.
More points for Ramona for talking up the heat. How does she do it? It's Sarah Spade. How about you?
Yeah, the reason this question is so fascinating is because of the mystery. Not only do you have five teams that are leading or within 2.5 games of the top spot, which leads you to the question of which one of those is about to, you know, turn on the burners and step it up, but you also have so many of those teams that have been either affected by trades or injury. You talk about the Heat injury. You talk about Joel and Harden and that Harden piece being added. You talk about what the Nets look like with Ben Simmons, who we haven't even seen play anywhere else. You talk about the Bulls, who've been without Caruso and Ball and parts of Zach LaVine for a stretch. There's so many teams that could change drastically between now and the playoffs because of injury and otherwise. I'm giving the edge to the Sixers only because Embiid has already been the MVP in my mind. And then you add Harden, who seems very interested and dedicated to helping them win. That's the only edge I'm giving anyone, but you got to get everyone healthy on all those teams to really see what everyone's got.
Israel back in.
And here's my plea for the Heat, and you can feel free to give these points to Ramona as well. The way they've been able to win with this formula, they know how they win. They have a very versatile defense centered around Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. They shoot threes. They've got a lot of depth, a lot of variety with which to, you know, players with which to shoot those threes. It can be a defensive guy like Caleb Martin, or it could be a knockdown guy like Duncan Robinson. They have the formula. They can absolutely make life miserable.
They know how to win. Although one of the teams in the conversation did, in fact, win the championship last year, which the Heat did not win. Listen to you guys. What a fascinating question. You guys are trying to butter me up. It's the most basic question there is. We're about to have a break for basketball. Who's good in basketball? There's nothing fascinating about that. We'll move on. Ramona, the Los Angeles Lakers. The latest on Anthony Davis, 4 weeks, and then he'll be reevaluated. I mean, we said yesterday it was 2 weeks, which... it's not 4 weeks, and now it's 4 weeks. Ramona, can the Lakers survive this, or should they start thinking about what next year might hold for this team?
I think they've been thinking about what next year's going to hold for this team for a while now. They certainly did that at the trade deadline, where they held the line and basically said, you know what, we took our best shot. We went and got Russell Westbrook. We went all in with that. It hasn't worked so far, and we're not going to mortgage the future by trading away first-round picks and taking on extra luxury tax. The whole point of getting Westbrook was this idea that Anthony Davis breaks sometimes and LeBron James breaks sometimes, and Russell's supposed to step in and carry the team in these moments. This is what you got him for. I don't think we've seen enough evidence to say it's going to work, but
okay, but this
I
isn't about Russell Westbrook, right? I mean, it is, but it's about Anthony Davis. Can the Lakers build and continue to build and feel confident building around Anthony Davis, Ramona?
I think that's a big question for them going forward, but he gave them a strong commitment in signing a 5-year extension with them. And I think when you're looking at a future with one more year of LeBron James under contract, one more year, that's it. That's all they have of him under contract. They're looking at a big choice either this offseason or next to decide, is Anthony Davis a guy you can go forward with?
So you believe they're having that discussion internally right now?
You'd have
to. Sarah Spain, how about you?
This is a guy that went from, is he top five in the league, to where does he sit even among big men, to will he be available to lead them when the LeBron era is over? It may sound rash, but I think they need to potentially look into trading him now while his value is still perceived to be high in the coming years before it becomes clear that he will always have struggles staying in the lineup. That's already been clear, but more and more of this and more of the effects on his value might get even tougher for them. So if they're looking at their future, you get a bunch of pieces now for him that you then go out and try to get another star in free agency because you don't have any pieces now to build around in the future. Use him to get those and then try to use your appeal as the Lakers to get another star to come
join. So Sarah says, consider trading Davis, of course, this offseason because the deadline had already passed, which is a bold statement, also something Woody Page said a few days ago on this show. How does that make you feel? Yes, exactly. Israel Gutierrez, how about you?
I miss that.
I mean, I think they can build around him. I don't think they can build around him confidently. And this is the trickiest part about this is it's an injury situation. Like, you watch that replay, and, like, he had, there's nothing he could have done, right? This is not his fault. And so you just kind of use that picture and say, okay, if I can get lucky for another year, or he can get lucky for another year or two, like, he is the guy of these three that's in his prime. He is the guy that you would most want to build around going forward. And you just have to hope that it's luck and, like, he's not built in any sort of different way. And that, you know, his rash of injuries will be behind him going forward. And, you know, he'll be motivated. And in terms of this season, I don't think it's like the end for the Lakers. We're going to be talking about them. They're going to be in that play-in tournament most likely. Can they beat one,
a couple of games and make it
to the playoffs? Sure. They still have that to play for, I believe. Yes, I believe that they can compete there with the
Portland Trail Blazers. Start there. Are we going to be looking at a playoff team?
Yeah, I don't.
You can save the rest for your FaceTime, Israel. Are we looking at a playoff team here?
I'm going to go against everything that I've seen with the Lakers this year. I am not counting LeBron James out because now he's going to play center. And when he's played center this season, in 626 minutes, he scored 568 points, shot 55% from the field, and almost 40% from three. Now, the problem is, can they translate that into wins? We've been waiting all season for the Lakers to make a run, and I understand how tough their schedule is, but I am not going to count a LeBron James-led team out. I'm not making some grand prediction, oh, they're going to run all the way to the finals. Their season is not over. I refuse to believe that.
Conversation is over. I guess we'll find some time to talk about the Lakers again at some point in the future. Coming up, buy or sell, I have a fascinating question for you about the dunk and three-point contest. Who you got? How does he come up with it? Oh, Rielly, done it again.
Fascinating.
Question was simple. The answer was fascinating.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
The Green Bay Packers hiring Aaron Rodgers' favorite quarterback coach, Tom Clements. Sarah Spate, is this a sign Rodgers is staying and or Green Bay is trying to do everything to keep him? Or is this just a signing they made in the offseason?
No matter how many times I'm asked to read Aaron Rodgers' mind over the last 2 years, and now I'm not going to know. But I will say this seems like something that he and Clemens might have had a phone call about. This guy was retired. This is someone that Aaron has name-checked a number of times and has said has taught him a lot. So if he's coming back, there's a pretty good chance that Aaron has talked to him about that, and he intends to return
as well. Israel Gutierrez?
Breaking down Aaron Rodgers' relationships also quite...
yes, yes.
Yeah.
I knew I couldn't say that word. No, look, I do think it sounds like it's the Packers trying to do everything they can to keep him there. But I also believe that, you know, based on all the events that have happened over the last several months, that he's probably more likely to want to stay there. He's mentioned, you know, they've been doing a good job of making him feel special. This seems like they're furthering that. So, yeah, it seems like...
You don't believe in any big little lies here. Justin Tinsley, how about you?
Yeah, I'm buying the fact that Green Bay is doing whatever they can to get this guy to stay, but that's it. It's not like Rodgers needs help offensively. He's just won back-to-back MVPs. That's what this is. It's all going to come down to does Aaron Rodgers want to stay in Green Bay? He very well could, but I don't think this signing is the one that's going to tip the hand and be like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is the one. He's definitely coming
and
back.
And Ramona, do you think a signing like this is putting it on your star, or is it the fault in our stars?
Look, Aaron Rodgers has a lot of good options. The Green Bay Packers do not have an option, have a good option besides him. We're going to see them do, I mean, I don't know if they're going to send flowers, like what else can they do to make him feel special? I think they can start with this and getting Devontae Adams back, signing all of his receivers back, doing basically everything he asked them for last year, which was give me some weapons, do what I want you to do. And I think he finally has the leverage he's always wanted. So I think he's back.
Buy or sell two, dunk contest and three. This is what we talk about at All-Star Weekend. Here are the competitors. Israel Gutierrez, who you got? And who and what are you intrigued by?
Well, the two people I'm intrigued by are probably going to be the two people I got, too, then. Jalen Green in the dunk contest, he's got rockets in his calves. I mean, you're going to see, so he's this wiry 6'4 guy, the type of dunker you love to see in those things. Looks like he's flying through the air. He's flying through the air. And you've got
yes,
Carl
he is, in fact,
now.
Flying through the air.
Big man in a three-point shooting. He actually is doing that, right? Big man in a three-point shooting contest. I want to see him.
Yes, yes. When they shoot the three, it looks like it's in the air as well. Justin Tinsley, how about you?
Flying in the air.
Yeah, I'm going Jalen Green as well. We haven't really seen anybody take over the dunk contest since LaVine and Eric Gordon, and I think Jalen Green has the bag to do that. His high school mixtapes were crazy. His hops are out of this world. Like, this guy, he can be very special in a dunk contest, and that's what I'm looking forward to tomorrow night.
Ramona Shelburne, how about you?
I like the three-point contest. Got Trae Young, and I like Karl Towns in there. But what I don't like is that the best dunks we've seen all year have come from Ja Morant and Miles Bridges, and they are not in the dunk contest. No offense to Jalen Green, it's going to be great, but yeah. It seems like all the best stars of this generation don't want to participate in the dunk contest because it's hard to top what's been done before, or they're afraid of looking stupid. I mean, I look stupid all the time. I don't.
Well, no, I think you're on to something
here, Ramona.
We have said this before. I mean, I remember saying this literally probably the weekend before LaVine versus Gordon, and then it blew our minds. That's one of the great dunk contests of all time. So, Sarah, you can weigh in here first on Ramona's take here that the dunk contest suffers because you don't have, like, Ja Morant in it this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say is, like, going into it, I'm not as thrilled about the names. I think Jalen Green's going to be great. I think it's going to be fun. But it's what happens during it that can help change our mind. We have been complaining about the superstars not wanting to do it for a while. That doesn't seem to be changing, so let's embrace what we got and then be thrilled and excited when it blows our minds like the Gordon LaVine one. Speaking of LaVine, that's who I got in the three-point contest. I love seeing Cap because I love when the big men are in there and he can shoot it very efficiently, doesn't need to jump. But I'm rooting for everybody. Chicago, let's go, AO. Let's go, Debo, come on.
Buy or sell three, college football playoff to stay at four teams for four more years, Bill Hancock told our Heather Dinich. Justin, how does that sit with you?
Honestly, I would like to see a more diverse roster in the teams that make it, and I know it's going to expand at some point, but I'm fine with this. I don't need to see this thing expand to 12 teams and half of the top 25 is in there. It takes away from the luster.
So Ramona Shelburne?
You know what? We didn't have a very good playoff this year. We had one really dominant team. But I think that this needs to happen eventually, but it's obviously in a place where college football still needs to sort out all the NIL stuff. There's a lot of business they need to sort out before we get to dealing
with it. Darius Bing?
I meant to say A-O-I-O, so stay out of my menchies. That wasn't me not knowing how to say his name. Anyway, the point is that for this one, one Justin Tinsley, who loves an underdog in the Bengals, doesn't want to see any underdogs get a chance in college. That's my issue. I would rather have maybe there's a couple bad games
what Spain's
in the playoffs.
She's taking a shot at the person in the lead here.
I'm making a valid point, which is to say that if you have more opportunities, then there's less disappointment about people not even getting a shot and the what ifs. I'm a little bit less concerned about a blowout in the playoffs than I am about those teams never getting a shot.
Israel Gutierrez.
I lean on the side of not needing it right now. I think, again, we're fine. I think, you know, there's been a little bit of a renaissance with the bowl games. I don't know if that was just Duke's Mayo really promoting very well, but I think it's not the time to do it. I think eventually it probably will, and we'll have, you know, more important playoff games, but it just doesn't anything screaming that says it, you need it right now.
Tinsley, Spain went after you. You, if you dare, go right back at her, please. You got the lead now. Maybe you want to sit on the lead.
I mean, only six teams have ever made it. No one ever makes it there anyway. Like, That was a low blow to bring in my Bayou Bengals like that, Sarah. Come on.
I could have mentioned the Cowboys if you really want
to get one. She's coming for you. She's coming for you.
But not enough today. That's it for Spain.
Get out of here.
Ayo and Gutierrez. Tinsley, Shelburne, showdown. 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
College hoops has been off the rails this week. We had a showdown earlier in the week with incredible finishes. Here's another. Tell me which is better. Omaha's game-winning three-pointer by Frankie Fiddler. He had an 11-0 run to win the game. Or Concordia, Nebraska game-winning full-court alley-oop layup. Ramona, which is better?
Definitely the alley-oop layup. I mean, with apologies to Frankie Fiddler, who has the name that is destined for this kind of a show, that alley-oop layup, you can practice that, you can draw that up. I've never seen that actually executed in that way and that well.
Justin?
The pass was contested. It was almost a turnover, but then he catches it. He double pumps and avoids the block. That was the real-life version of the annexation from Puerto Rico from Little Giants. That was incredible.
So you seem to be siding on the layup was the better part of the play. Ramona says the pass was the better part of the play. I agree. Just have the strength to throw it full court. Ramona Shelburne, take the FaceTime.
Underhand, too. Hey, I woke up this morning to some wonderful baby news. Candace Parker and her wife, Anya, had their baby. His name, I think he's destined to play basketball. Air Parker, A-I-R-R. Air Parker. That is a perfect basketball name. Congratulations. We've been talking about that for a while. It's our second child. And I know she's going to take some time to bond, but
that's great news.
She's back out to defend the title.
Air Parker.
Let
me get the dates right. Air Jordan's birthday. Is that right? Justin Tinsley?
I know
that's an important day for you. Yep. Sarah, I know that's
happy
an important
birthday,
day for you.
Happy birthday, baby.
Yep.
All right. We're on a 71 and a half hour break. See you guys Monday around the horn. Oh, Ariely! Right on.